You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Buzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. We are here doing another AfterBuzz TV after show for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is episode 105, The Girl in the Flower Dress. I am Matt Lieberman, and joining me tonight on the panel is the lovely and talented Miss Megan Salinas.
Hi there, Matt.
Hey, thank you for joining us. Unfortunately, Kristen Carroll could not make it here tonight. We miss her, and she will be back next week, but you will be staying for the rest of the season, I hope.
Here's hoping, if you guys will have me.
All right. I would definitely have you here on the panel. Thank you for joining us. Before we say anything else, last week, I think as a fandom, we all let out a collective sigh of despair because it was not as good an episode as the week before it, and we were worried, was our time being wasted? Had all been lost? But then this episode came tearing out of the gate and friggin' ruled and was just a step up on every single level. The performance, the writing, the effects, the mysteries ongoing for the rest of the season. I am so stoked about the quality of this episode and what it means for the future of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And there were fans who every week, they were like, I don't know, man. And I'm like, keep watching. It will get better. And then, Megan, tonight it got better and it will never be the same.
This was definitely a turning point. I agree 100% that this is the episode where I'm finally like, all right, here we go. We finally hit the ground running.
Right. I don't feel like I'm making a time investment. I feel like, oh, great, a time for this show that I really love to watch.
Yeah. We've gotten so spoiled with binge watching and everything like that. You know, we forget almost what it's like to have to wait a little bit for a show to get going because you're used to just waiting a couple hours as opposed to several weeks.
Totally. And especially like the majority of Joss Whedon shows or Joss Whedon produced shows, because he's not on the ground with this one, but they're mostly cult shows. And a lot of us found them later on.
Firefly,
you know, it's only 14 episodes and you power through them and it's like, but I want more. And that one, while that one was, you know, pretty brilliant right out of the box, you know, Dollhouse took like a whole season to write that ship. You know, like it finally, by the end of the first season, was pretty good. And then when season two kicked in, it was like, yeah, man.
So, yeah, I think everybody's had that in the back of their, everybody who's stuck with it has had that in the back of their mind, waiting for like, okay, it's going to pay off. Yeah. It's going to pay off. And when is it going to pay off?
Right. And then, you know, when season one of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. drops on Netflix sometime in the fall, and we have all those friends who've been like, I don't know, all year long. We can tell them, just power through the first four episodes and you'll be good. And we can say that and recommend it with impunity and know how awesome it is. Because tonight showed the promise of the series that I want to watch.
Yeah, again, this is, I'm actually getting really excited for what's to come this season. You're right. It doesn't feel like you're like investing in something that's going to pay off later.
Right, because you don't want to like, you don't want to talk to friends about shows unless you're like, I can wholeheartedly recommend this to you without any reservations, and now I feel like I can. If it maintains the level of quality that we saw tonight, or, you know, God forbid, exceeds it, you know, I can't wait to see what Jed Whedon and Marissa Tancheroen have in store for us. Now, we've spent 4 minutes gushing. Let's jump in. So we open in China on Chan, who's a street magician.
Yeah.
And he turns out to be a pyrokinetic. Now, last week on our show, Kristen talked about an interview with TV Line that Jeff Loeb, who is the chief creative officer of Marvel Television, gave with them. And he talked about four types of threats that S.H.I.E.L.D. would be dealing with. We had aliens, we had technology, we had espionage, and we had The Gifted. And there's been a lot of talk, especially online, about like, oh, are we going to have mutants in this? Oh, it sucks that they can't say mutants. Oh, they're definitely mutants. They're not mutants on this show because Fox owns the rights to X-Men. They are
unfortunately
gifted. They are gifted people. They're gifted people. And I thought that Chan's whole story was a fun commentary on supervillains and how, like, in the comics, it's like as soon as they, like, identify themselves, they, like, completely turn. That was, like, the one thing that didn't completely ring true to me was sort of, in this episode, was Chan's transformation.
I wasn't really happy with that either. Granted, it's still a really good episode, but yeah, he made the right turn into supervillainy really abruptly. Yeah.
And, you know, I love that the show kind of like they knew that, they saw it, and they're like, well, they gave him a name, and that's the most dangerous thing, because suddenly when you get this supervillain name, even as lame as Scorch is, you know, he completely shifted. He's like, he saw the glory, he saw his name being written in the history books, you know, for doing great and terrible things.
Yeah, because he started off as a really humble guy, you know, he's just a street performer, he's been in the same clutter department for 6 years. And
he nearly burned it down, and he had that beautiful monologue at the top. I'm like watching it, I'm like, is this Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because this is a great scene.
You have to pierce a man's outer shell to see, you know, who he truly is.
Totally. The one thing that was, like, super goofy, though, was, like, at the end of that scene, he gives this great monologue, and then she's like, close your eyes. And he closes his eyes. And then just, like, he opens them, and it's just dudes in, like, the cheap foil suits. I know it was, like, heat-resistance clothing, but I was just like, what? And then the show got way, way better, and thankfully it didn't. I was worried again. I'm like, oh, my God, is it?
It kind of reminded me a little bit of E.T. when the astronaut suit
totally
comes out little bit. I thought she was going to be a gifted person as well and was going to knock him out or was going to tase him or something like that. But, yeah,
well, you knew she
silly.
Was bad news. You know, like, she's speaking English. She's, you know, she's, like, super nice. And it's just like, there's no way she's good.
You are trouble.
Yeah, anyone who's nice is bad news. Like, isn't that the rule? Like, if you're a good person, you don't really trust other people, or, like, you're decent, but you don't go out of your way to, like, let me come to your apartment and show me your fire. Maybe I'll sleep with you. That's not what happens.
No,
that's not
no,
what
no,
happens
no.
in the world. Instead, they're an agent of Centipede, and they totally knock you out and steal your platelets.
Yeah, that's no good for anybody.
Yeah. So he's in this facility, and he's like, I'm totally going to leave. And she's like, you can leave. But if you stay, I'll give you ultimate power. It's like, ultimate power? I don't know, man. I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy who loves Houdini. And she's like, or you could be Scorch.
Of all the names to get him to turn around, he's like, ah, oh, it's growing on me.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's like all the good fire names in the comics are already taken. You know, you got Pyro, you got the Human Torch.
And even, I think there's a Scorch in DC. I think Scorch is a Superman villain, actually.
Oh, man. I hope not. Well, in the Superman animated series, they had Volcana, who, like, rocks, but that's a completely different universe. We're not talking about that.
Would he have turned around for, you can be the lit match?
Stephen Lemieux, our engineer, you just keep your mouth shut. not really, but, like,
I thought he was going to go with Burning Man.
Oh, we do, on the Sleepy Hollow show, we do a pun jar. We are not doing it here. This is not Sleepy Hollow.
It's a pun-free zone.
Pun-free zone. This is, we can have fun here, but let's not have too much fun. Well, we can have lots of fun, because I had a lot of fun.
Just not pun-related fun.
It's true. So they injected him with the centipede serum that we saw in the pilot. Glad we brought that back and kind of deepened that mythology a bit. You know, as we recall, it is the super soldier serum mixed with, like, Bruce Banner's gamma radiation and some Extremis thrown in for good measure.
Yeah, it sounds like a really bad Molotov cocktail.
Oh, totally. Really? Well, now it's a Molotov cocktail because he lit it up with his fire blood.
I actually just rewatched Iron Man 3 this weekend, too. And so, like, having that fresh in my mind when this comes out is like, oh, man, yeah. All of this is just not good.
I know. this is and isn't jumping ahead because we're talking about everything that happened in this headquarters before we jump to our characters, who all had, most of whom had big advancements this week. But how sweet was it when Coulson was like, I don't want to hurt you, but we have to. Melinda injects him with double centipede, and then Miles, douchebag Miles, who we're going to refer to him as forever because he's a douche, redirects the explosion up through the roof. Super cool. Love that part of the episode.
I loved the way that was executed. I do think I thought it was such a bummer considering, you know, Chance started off as such a good guy.
Right?
I hated that was the way it ended for him. But at the same time, if you're going to off a supervillain who has the nerve to call himself Scorch,
do it. Do it.
That's not a bad way to go.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I just want to talk really quickly before we move on about iTunes. Guys, thank you so much for reaching out to us on iTunes, on the YouTube, on the Twitter. We love having a conversation with fans of the show and maintaining it week to week. And the one thing that you can do to help us is to go to iTunes, slap us with a 5-star rating, let our bosses know how much you like the show. It helps keep us searchable. It helps them know that our fans are motivated and engaged and that we're doing a great job. We actually had a fan on YouTube this week. He said, you know, hey man, I don't have iTunes. How can I help the show? Well, I'm gonna tell you this. His name is Chigawap. That's his name on the YouTube. I don't know if that is his real name. If it is, kudos. It's better than Scorch. What you can do is you can send an email to info@afterbuzztv.com. You can put the subject line, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kicks butt, or something like that, and let them know how much you love us and you love our show and you want to see guests and all kinds of cool stuff. We have some great, great stuff planned for mid-season and into the future. Help us make that a reality. Sweet. Okay, so let's jump in. Sky's story. We were talking before we came on the air tonight. We were concerned that, you know, the reveal of her connection with the Rising Tide and what she's actually up to at S.H.I.E.L.D. would be dragged out for several episodes. Not so.
I'm so glad that they didn't take that route because
it's just a waste of time.
It really is. I'm so glad that they just brought it to the forefront, addressed it right now, and made it a confrontation right now.
Exactly. And it makes her relationship with every member of the team that much more complicated because they're just starting to trust her when they find out that Chan's been taken and that he was on the list. There's a list of things and people with superpowers, which is a great plot device for the show. And I want to know, they say the list isn't that long. I want to know just how long this list is, who's on it. You know, I assume Thor and Thor's hammer at the top of the list. But I like the idea of the list. It's been hacked by Rising Tide by this guy, Miles, who is apparently Sky's ex-boyfriend, who kind of current boyfriend, on and off again, who taught her everything she knows about hacking and got her involved in the hacking lifestyle, got her into Rising Tide, and he sold this information for $1 million.
For such a smart guy, he makes some really dumb decisions.
Prick! He is, though! Right? Because he has the nerve to, like, get Sky to sleep with him, and then all the while lying about the money, which then he then says is like, it could have floated us forever. We could have, you know, had our lifestyle forever. Why do we have to be poor just to be, like, good for the world? I'm like, F you, man.
Yeah, ugh. It's just... Yeah, so hypocritical. And just the fact that, like, he imposed, not necessarily imposed, but you can definitely tell that Sky gets a lot of her ideals from her conversations with him and then, like, having this relationship together. And just the fact that he, like, it's all talk, it's all BS. It's just like, ugh.
And it's got to be crushing for her, you know? She's like, she sacrificed so much, she was living out of a van for Rising Tide and for those ideals that he had preached to her so many times.
Now you're making fun of her van?
Yeah. What the hell? You're making fun of my van now? Whoa. Pump the brakes. Let me reverse that sex we had. Let me roll it back up and throw it away. Wait a second. You're making fun of my van? That is family.
You just crossed a line.
You crossed a line that you can't uncross, no matter how sculpted your sexy beard is. Yeah.
It was kind of cute. It was a little grungy, but he was pretty cute.
Hey, it's hacker chic. That's hacker true. Chic. He's got to be a little grungy. He's got to have edge.
I like that he did it from a coffee shop, too.
Oh, totally.
And that was a pretty nifty trick, actually. And it's very interesting, you know, the idea that he is capable of doing all the stuff that he does. You know, with a click of a button, he was able to lose Coulson in a high-speed, you know, pursuit. That's impressive.
Oh, totally.
He's a D-bag, but that was impressive. And the fact that he was the one that rerouted the explosion to the roof, they're going to bring him back.
Well, he's got that secret shield does anything bracelet tracker on now. So, you know, they can find him wherever he is, and they can probably summon him wherever he is. If he crosses them, then he'll never be able to touch a piece of electronics ever again, according to them. So, he could definitely come back. And I see him coming back as a potential conflict inducer between her and Ward. And that's why he has a grungy beard, to differentiate him from Soldier Boy Ward, who, like, they were getting cozy with their battleship, and she was, you know, he cracking through his shell a little bit. He gave her a compliment, and he gave her a compliment, a comment, and a smile. It's not a smile. Just relaxing. Yeah.
He's off the clock.
Ward is such an interesting character to me. We talked last week a little bit about, you know, what we think about his past, and that he's not very comfortable around people. He's probably awkward growing up. And the reason why he became this, like, super fit, super powerful Superman kind of soldier guy is because it's easier for him to be strong than to be, you know, weak socially and be picked on, probably. I mean, we don't know this to be true.
Well, one of the things that they said in, you know, Captain America was that a weak man knows the value of strength.
It's true.
And so, I was listening to your guys' episode and thinking about that, and absolutely right. If he was really weak growing up, then definitely as he grows up and becomes this, you know, soldier for S.H.I.E.L.D., he would definitely understand that, you know, there is a certain amount of responsibility that comes with this. And yeah, I could definitely see that maybe alienating him a little bit, you know, just the fact how he grew up.
Yeah, and I think it makes it all the more heartbreaking to learn that Skye has betrayed him, because he's teaching her to have that strength for herself. You know what I mean? I think he identified with her a lot when they were kind of comparing backstories the last couple of episodes. You know, she's kind of got a broken past too. She's a misfit. He's teaching her to be strong like him, and that's a responsibility. And the fact that she would so brazenly betray them and betray that trust, you know, is kind of a deal breaker. Hopefully not for long, because, you know, we're shipping them a little bit. We're pulling for the couple. Why not? I love happy endings. And, you
Do
know,
they have a
so
ship name
will they.
Yet?
Let's
Skyward?
Skyward, you know, but Scored. Scarred.
Sounds a little too much like Scorch. I don't like that.
Why? We'll just call them Why. Why?
That's every couple. That's every couple in every show.
No,
why?
No. I mean, some of them make sense and some of them wind up happy on some shows. Maybe not this show. It remains to be seen.
We'll see. I'm pulling for them, though. I'm rooting for it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Skye's backstory. We learn at the end of the episode that, and also that device that that Miles used to lose Coulson, it had the same kind of like text style and black screen that her communication in a couple episodes ago had when she said that she was in. So I'm going to just say right here and now that was her communicating with Miles and not, you know, infiltrating for Rising Tide.
Yeah, I think this sort of makes it clear that, you know, even though she did have all these ideals and that maybe that was her part of her intention,
yeah,
her main motive wasn't that. Her main motive was personal.
Yes, to find out who her parents were and what happened to them, because all she has of her past is a redacted document. A document redacted by S.H.I.E.L.D. from the St. Agnes Orphanage. And someone asked, Ryan Wittallison asked me on Twitter. He's a guy who watches a few of the shows. Thank you for being an awesome viewer. He asked me, you know, do you think that Skye is an established Marvel character with a different backstory?
That's actually not a bad theory, because there are tons and tons and tons of people that, you know, that this, you know, that they can play with in
totally.
The Marvel world that a lot of times are unsung heroes in the Marvel universe.
It's true. And, you know, if we're getting, like, deep into comics, the Marvel movie universe, which this is a part of, is considered universe number 199,999. It is the farthest flung from the majority of the universes. So technically, you could play with anyone in that world who is not a mutant.
And, or Spider-Man.
Or Spider-Man. Or a Spider-Man villain.
Or the Fantastic Four.
Or the Fantastic Four.
Or Ghost Rider.
Or Ghost Rider. But now Daredevil. I don't think Sky is Daredevil. But... you can play with the majority of those people, and it could be, I don't know.
Hacker by day.
Yeah, hacker lawyer by day. Night. Lawyer by night, and then Daredevil in dreams. I don't think so. I don't know. I personally feel like Sky is an original creation, but I feel like one or more of her parents could be established Marvel characters.
Well, it actually, to me, sounds very, you know, just speaking of Spider-Man, sounds very familiar to, like, the Peter Parker story, because Peter Parker's parents were actually agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and, you know, that's why he was raised by his aunt and uncle. There's a whole big
thing
there.
How are they going to explain that in The Amazing Spider-Man if they can't say the word S.H.I.E.L.D.? Anyway, continue.
They could just say spies.
Yeah, they're just spies. They're just big
no
spies.
Big deal.
They're just big spies. You know, that's satisfying, right? No.
Come on, Fox, Disney, work together.
Exactly.
Make something wonderful together.
Well, they put Fantastic Four Tower in the New York skyline in Avengers, or am I remembering that wrong? No, they put Stark Tower in Amazing Spider-Man. Sorry, misremembered that. Now we got the facts straight. Well, when she said that, Coulson said, you know, you might not like what you find, right? I feel like he knows where she came from, and that's probably why he picked her.
That's definitely a possibility, especially since he had such a gut feeling about her. Well, how much of that was really a gut feeling, and
right?
How much of that was, I know exactly who you are, I know exactly what your background is, and I know exactly what you can do for us because of that.
Yeah. I'm going to throw this out there knowing that it's not true. What if Coulson's Sky's father?
What?
What? Mind explosion.
What a twist.
I know. No, it's not going to be Coulson. No one thinks that it's... Well, some people probably think it's Coulson.
I definitely think that he's taking on, like, a father figure role for her, though. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But as far as him actually being her dad, I think that'd be a little too soap opera-y.
Okay, I'm going to... This is a two-part question. Is Sky half Asian?
I don't know how to answer that. I honestly don't know.
I feel like she could be. Second part, do you think that it's Phil and Melinda's secret love child and that's why she doesn't trust her on the bus? Because she hasn't seen her in years and blah, blah, blah. Not the truth. That is not what
it is.
Is
that why Melinda's always one step ahead of her? She just knows exactly what she's going to do?
No, it's because Melinda's awesome and she's one step ahead of everybody.
She is. You know, again, don't want to get too sidetracked, but I just loved the moment when Sky is talking to Miles and she opens the door and Melinda's just standing there.
Like, where's my top? I can't find my... Here you go.
Get dressed.
Get dressed. You are a failure as a daughter. It's not what happened. She is not Melinda's daughter.
So many
issues. Because then the line, you know, you won't want to find out. You might not want to find out about it.
Well,
wouldn't make sense.
She followed it up with, it can't possibly be worse than what I've imagined.
Which
and it's like, don't ever say that.
No, but that was like so heartbreaking. Because like, if that's all the information you have about your parents, you know, you assume that what? That they're like prisoners? That they're trapped? That they were killed by S.H.I.E.L.D.? You know, it explains her kind of irrational fear and hatred of them.
Definitely.
At the top of the series.
If that's all she's ever had to go on her entire life, and also, you know, pairing up with this very sort of revolutionary-minded Miles.
Totally.
Yeah, who's totally not a good guy.
And he's totally not sexy. He's not sexy.
He's a sellout is what he is.
Yeah.
But just, you know, the fact that you have this organization that is holding the truth about your past, you know, and you're, yeah, this.
I know. It's frustrating. But, like, that's the thing. This episode, for me, cemented why Sky is an interesting character. It cemented why her relationship with Coulson is going to be interesting. It advanced her relationship with Ward and put it in way more interesting, less predictable territory. Because now she's wearing one of the crazy powerful does anything bracelets too. So
what's it do? Does it just like set off an EMP or something?
Coulson said it does anything we want it to do. So yes, it can send out an EMP. It could explode. It can generate a Wi-Fi signal if you needed to. It can give you directions. It can speak Spanish. It does anything that
Universal
SHIELD
Translator.
Wants it to do.
That'd be yes. pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool. It would be rad. And like, but it's controlled by SHIELD. You can't control it.
No,
you
that's,
can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a
that's
gift,
the catch. There's
not a curse. So they're keeping her on the team, but they're giving her a short leash. So that's all fine and dandy and great. Any other thoughts on Sky this week?
Well, she's going to have to spend probably the rest of the season trying to rebuild that trust that was established and then, you know, subsequently destroyed in this episode.
Yeah.
And so I think we're going to be seeing Ward giving her the cold shoulder, and she's going to have to work in order to reestablish that trust.
Totally.
I think this team really means something to her now. It didn't before. It does now.
It does now because they help people. They save people. They're a force for good. And yeah, she and Ward are not going to be flirting anytime soon. He's not going to be into it. He's going to go back inside Robot Shell. He's going to put the helmet on. That's the air pressurizing inside Robot Shell. The only people who seem to really continue to trust her or like want to trust her were Fitzsimmons, who, while they didn't get a ton to do this week, I felt like the rough edges have been shaved off of their characters. Because one of the problems that I've had is, like, at times, everyone on the team has been kind of bumbling, and I want them to be great. And they were great. They were serious. They were like, all about the business, but still funny this week. It's not like they completely changed who they were, but they, you know, were in their element to a great degree. And I liked them. In a way that I haven't yet.
The team is definitely functioning more like a team, like a well-oiled machine, than it has in previous episodes where, you're right, they're just kind of bumbling around and trying to figure out what to do and panicking.
Yeah.
There's no
the van gets pushed off the road moment, which I hated. I was just like, they should get out of the van. Anyway, that's last week's episode. We're going to forget
that
it ever happened. Except for, like, the cool eye stuff. But we're going to forget the first half of last week's episode ever happened. Okay. So, Coulson, he's kind of reeling from this revelation that Sky was working for Rising Tide and that she had betrayed them. He'd gone with his gut, and he thought he could trust his gut. And now that trust has been kind of broken, finally he's, like, kind of showing some feelings, you know? There was a moment at the top of the episode that, like, got my geek senses all a-tingling when Melinda was like, I heard you up and about before even me. And he's like, I had some energy I had to burn off. And I'm wondering what that means and how much he knows about his own, you know, like, his own mysterious reappearance. You know, what does that mean? Does he have, like, actual, like, energy, like, powers? Probably not. A lot of fans reached out on the YouTube this week being like, please don't make him a robot. That would be so boring if he was a robot. I don't think he's a robot. Maybe a cyborg.
He's actually a Cylon. Spoiler alert.
No, he's not a Cylon. That's off the air. Both of those series are off the air. Megan, you're just begging for trouble.
I don't think robot. I think maybe more clone. Clone, I think, is a lot more.
That would be boring, too.
That would be boring, but it's feasible. I mean, it's a theory. Yeah. Again, it's boring, but it's something. I think it's more plausible than robot.
And it's still a big deal, and it would be a huge blow to his psyche to find out that he's not the real him, that he's a clone. What would be worse is if he walks into a SHIELD lab where there's just a dozen Coulson clones in cryo tubes, and that would just, like, F his shit up permanently.
There's no going back from something like that.
No, there isn't. That's like, a huge trip. And I still believe, like, this week, he just got a small sample of suffering, and it instantly made him a more interesting character. And I want him to suffer a whole bunch, even though I love him. because he will be a far more interesting character with far more plot material to work with.
Well, it was very interesting to see angry Coulson, too.
Oh, totally.
Because we see, you know, we've seen Coulson get betrayed by people in this series before, and we see him stand up for people who everybody else thinks is a traitor. But this is the first time where it's like, ooh, I get chills, like, listening to Coulson, like, ream this person out because he's like, you've been lying to me. You've been lying to my face, you know, ever since I brought you on board and everything like that. So that was like, whoa. Like, so it will be, again, it's going to be very interesting to see how things progress with Sky and the rest of the team. Like, is he going to stop sort of being like fatherly and going to be more like regimented? Be like more, okay, no, we're here for business. We have a job to do.
Well, last week when he was talking to Akila, she made it seem like he was more of a taskmaster and a drill sergeant when he was her SO. So I imagine that he's gonna pull back on the tenderness throttle, and he's going to be far more all about the business, at least where she's concerned. It's going to take a lot to rebuild her trust, and maybe, potentially, even more to rebuild Melinda's trust, because she never trusted her in the first place.
It's very true. I loved the way Melinda put it, too. She's like, if somebody breaks into my house, I'm not going to invite them to stay.
It's true! You don't! You're not like, hey, man, if you put down that TV, I'll give you some crumpets. I mean, granted, I don't know why you have crumpets. Although they are delicious. Trader Joe's has crumpets.
Although I will tell you, if anybody tried to break into Melinda's house, that problem would never happen again.
No. Nope.
She would see to that.
She would stab them in the heart.
With centipedes.
Yeah! Make them explode. I loved her and Coulson, you know, fighting Scorch and running away from him and, like, just working as a team. They were great in the field together, you know, like, they just rocked it, and I'm so stoked. I'm so stoked to be stoked about this show. You know what I mean? Because we put in a month. We put in a whole month, and we got rewarded with a great, great, fun adventure, and it took us all over the world. Okay. Any other points about this week? Like, I feel like we burned through so much of it.
Burned through? We're scorched.
No! No! What did we say? We said no puns. We said no puns. It's inescapable.
Pun-free zone. I'm really excited. I mean, of all the stuff that they have going on, I mean, in terms of the threats that were listed off, I'm most interested to see the threat of the gifted.
Yeah.
That was the thing that intrigued me about the first episode. That's what really drew me in this time. Because I know, granted, it's not necessarily fair, but the whole big thing about this series, you know, when they were promoting it was, you know, not all heroes are super. And so I wanted to see a group of people taking on these problems that superheroes would have to take on and having to work together as a team to overcome those obstacles. And I feel, you know, without powers. And I feel like this is, you know, the sort of episode that we're really getting that. And so that's what I want to see this team do. I want to see this team overcome superhero powers, but together.
Totally. And it's the one thing that this show has that no other show can have. Are people with superpowers dealing with superheroes in a world where superheroes exist but can't be around all the time? You know, in this chronology, Iron Man has already hung up the suit and blown it up. Blown up all the suits. Captain America's busy.
Winter Soldier.
In DC. Oh, man. They just released a new poster for it today.
No way.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
How's it look?
It's cool. Like, I want to see a trailer already. I mean, we'll probably get it at or after Thor the Dark World.
We'll probably get it at Thor. At least I've got my fingers crossed.
How many weeks away are we?
It's early November.
It's like 3 weeks, 2-3 weeks?
Something like that. Yeah.
That's going to be cool. Right, Steve?
Great.
Do you like it, Thor?
It won't be Thorable.
And this is why we don't let Steve talk. I can't escape it. I can't. What am I going to do with you people? You lovely, lovely people talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. All right, I think it's time we go to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, so we saw in the scenes from next week A couple of things. Looks like it will be a more Fitzsimmons-centric adventure, which is great because we need some fleshing out for those two.
We do, and I think as much fun as it is to say Fitzsimmons, it will be nice. It would be nice for them to get, you know, their own sort of distinguishable.
Sure. I know. It's that's the problem with being named as a unit is they don't really stand out from each other yet. And I think next week we're going to see, you know, different sides of them and what it's like when they're apart. We saw a quick flash of a Chitauri helm, which brings me back to the alien scrawl last week. I thought it was Chitauri. I believe one of the folks on the YouTube thought it was Skrull language, which would be so cool, which would be so rad. But I distinctly recall Kevin Feige saying that it's too early in their grand scheme of Marvel Entertainment to roll out Skrulls, or at least it was for Avengers. I don't remember the exact quote. If someone finds it, tweet it at me, and I'll tweet it out to everybody.
Maybe after Phase 2?
Maybe. I feel like that's something you start kind of like dropping hints in Phase 3, and it's like Phase 4 when you start. Maybe end of Phase 4 you do Secret Invasion. You know what I mean? Like end of Phase 4 into Phase 5.
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah. It would be cool. Any other thoughts on next week's episode?
It did look very X-Files, you know, with everything floating and just seeing Fitz totally distraught for that really quick clip. That makes me really worried for next week.
Awesome. Okay. Megan, where can the people find you at home?
At TheManguin on Twitter.
Okay, and you can find Kristen Carroll, who's not here this week, at KristenCarroll13 on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV on the Sons of Anarchy and Sleepy Hollow after shows. Are you on any other shows right now, Megan?
No, but check out The Walking Dead one. The Walking Dead one's awesome.
Okay, great. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.